Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is 100% with I Am Blessed, your host, Tanya Jackson. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with in the news. Of course, it is the coronavirus. How is this pandemic affecting you? Well, I can speak for me. I haven't been getting my full hours at work. I work at night at the local courthouse here in Virginia. I do security. And for me, I'm just glad they haven't enforced a curfew yet, because my hours are normally 3:30 to 11:30. So my job is putting in place the letter for essential personnel, because I am definitely essential personnel. So food has been scarce. I know it's been all around. You know, it's across the board for everyone. So it seems like the faster they stock the shelves, the faster the food goes. So we'll definitely like to keep everybody in prayer who's lost a loved one or are battling this coronavirus at home, or maybe be in the hospital. Okay, I just encourage people, please, if you don't have to be out there, stay at home. Again, I do have to be out there, but I use my precautions. I have these masks. I have gloves. I come from the nursing field, so I always stockpile. So if you're out in the public, please wear your gloves. I know we've seen all the posts saying if you go get gas, wear gloves. You know, not to scare anyone, but you never know. As we've been reading here lately, a person like spit or coughed on like $30,000 worth of food, and how cruel. She definitely needed to be locked up. So I'm glad they pressed charges. So just be safe. And, again, stay encouraged. Be creative. You know, what are you doing on this off time? Some people can work from home. Some people can't. I just encourage everybody to stay at home and focus on you and your family. I want everybody to be safe. So that's my end to news for today. Right now I'm going to play Mike Payne's I Rise. It is from the movie The Deal. I Rise.
Hard. I know crime pays. They say have faith, pain. Touche. No father figure. Mama raised a king. God's greatest gift, a human being. Life's a dirty game that I don't wanna play. They lock my boy Percy up. I miss him every day. All I need is a place for my head to lay. A hot rod on the side and a place to pray. I love my sister Keisha. Man, I honor that. Really sad I ever met, I promise that. I used to pray that she could get her mama back, but you can share mine, there's nothing you will lack. You can knock me down. Pray for my demise. Just count to five and watch me rise. They held my hand. They kissed my side. I dropped my head. They heard me cry. They never knew that I survived. To show the world that I never died.
That was Mike Payne, song called I Rise from the Deal, actor as well as activist, Mike Payne from the Deal. All right, let's bring our featured guest in. Hello, Miss AJ Saunders.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing good. How are you?
Excellent. Just waking up. Great. I'm glad. I'm grateful to be alive and well. So, how are you doing? How's it going out there in Virginia?
I'm doing good. I know it's very early there. My apologies again. I won't keep you.
Oh, no worries.
I'm an early riser anyway,
so it's not a problem.
Oh, great. For the listeners out there, give us some background.
Oh, I was hoping you would do that. I hate talking about myself.
You should love it.
No. I'd rather you do the honors.
Yeah, you should love it. That's funny. So tell us, about your education. Like, what was your favorite subject?
My education?
Yes, what was your favorite, like, growing up, what was your favorite subject? Maybe in high school, and what was your
I thought you were going to give people some background information as to who I am. Most people don't know me by name. They know me by character. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you kind of.
Okay.
My apologies. Hold on. My apologies. Frozen. I'm trying to pull it up. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
I got it. Woo. Always.
Okay.
You're a 30-year vet. As a stand-up comedian and actress,
mm-hmm.
You are recognized for appearing on The Martin Show. You were Mark Carey's girlfriend for Hanging with Miss, and you were Gina on Different Worlds.
Yes. To name a few.
Yes, to name a few. My apologies. This screen just, I don't know what it is. It's always something.
Of course.
Apologize for that, the listeners out there.
No problem. Oh.
Okay. Did you have any childhood friends growing up?
Yeah, I did. I grew up in Dallas, actually, in a very primarily a Jewish environment, but my mother was clever enough to have found a multicultural environment for me to grow up in. So I had all kinds of friends from all different backgrounds and educations and different religions and different nationalities. So, yeah, it was a wonderful experience. I still keep in touch with my childhood friends, actually.
That's great. Wow.
Shout out to Cheryl Anderson and William Vaughn and Tim Vaughn and the Spain brothers. I still keep in touch with my homies.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
They all
my mother gave me
a
perfect childhood. I would have never asked for anything better or different. The perfect childhood for me.
All right. So when you were in high school, what was your favorite subject and what was your least favorite?
My favorite subject in high school probably was English. I love the English language. I'm a wordsmith, so I love putting words together, especially as a stand-up comedian. You have to be pretty well-versed in knowing words and having to read a lot, and you have to know a little bit about everything. And or you have to be at least curious about everything as a comedian. And so that's kind of the way I was as a child. My mother told me that I always asked questions and wanted to read signs and billboards as we drove up and down the street. So English was my favorite subject. My favorite English teacher was Ms. Richardson, this beautiful black woman who just – She walked as if she was wearing a crown every day. Anyway, so that's probably one of my greatest, biggest reasons why I left for the English class, because she was a cute little petite woman, but she carried a big stick, and so she really inspired me to do well. My least favorite probably was science, only because I just didn't like dissecting frogs and that kind of stuff. Just, I mean, not science, but like biology. So that kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies, and I had to like cut open stuff and look at, the anatomy of animals and everything. So that just kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. But then other than that, school was fine. I liked school. I was a cheerleader in high school. I loved doing playing sports. I was very active in extracurricular activities. I was always I had striven to be a high achiever. So I tried to do a little bit of everything. I played piano, the clarinet, and the marching band, and tried to play tennis for a little bit, but I wasn't as good as, I didn't have a very promising future in that, but I love watching it still. I'm obsessed with watching tennis. I loved watching Arthur Ashe and Yvonne Goolagan and all those greats from the past, I love watching sports with my mother growing up, and love watching the NCAA and NBA and NFL. When you grow up in Dallas, football is a religion, so Dallas Cowboys was our temple. We watched that every Sunday after church, and so childhood was great. My high school life was phenomenal, and I'm grateful for it.
Wow. That's great. Who were your influences growing up? Mentioned some of them. I know you just mentioned some of them. I think it was Arthur Ashe or...
Oh, no, I mean, I admired Arthur Ashe and Chris Everett, but, they weren't as influential as my mother and my great-grandmother were my greatest influences.
Oh, that's awesome. What's a fun fact?
Well, yeah, I mean, my great-grandmother was born in 1905, and, and she's the one that, she had to work in the field and pick cotton and, she had children pretty much like on the cotton fields, and then she ended up working in, white families' homes, my great grandmother is from that generation, that era, that did all the dirty work. She did all of our dirty work for us. The reason why we get to live like this is because of women like my great grandmother. and her grandmother and her grandmother. You feel me? So how can you not be influenced by that, and how can you not be inspired to, you know, keep going when I know that I have somebody in my DNA, in my ancestry, that didn't quit, you know? And then my mother, who was born by a teenage mother, her mom was a teenager when she had her and didn't know what to do with her. So, you know, she was raised by my great-grandmother because my grandmother was still in high school and she was still young and didn't know anything about life. So to hear that story alone, we don't have enough time to go into that. But for me to even be here is a miracle. So So those are my two greatest influences for so many reasons, and I'm just grateful that God allowed us to be here.
What amazing! Oh, that is just amazing to her. What made you choose your craft?
Well, I didn't. I was always a performer growing up. My mother put me in ballet class. I may have been like 2 or 3. I was very young when she put me into ballet class. And then by the time I was like 5 and 6 years old, I was performing all over the city of Dallas doing talent shows, winning those talent shows, mind you. You know, I was impersonating artists like Tina Turner and Chaka Khan at such an early age. And I always knew what I wanted to do. I'm one of the very, very, very blessed people out there that knew early on what she wanted to do. So my craft pretty much chose me. I don't really think I chose it. It was just in me to do. But I didn't really start doing stand-up comedy until I was 19. Until I moved to LA and had been there a couple of years and started attending a comedy club. But growing up, though, I'd always been very intrigued by the comedians. When I'd watch Johnny Carson, and I loved watching sitcoms, I loved comedic actresses like Marla Gibbs and Isabel Sanford and Jenna Dubois. I used to love to watch those women work. You know, and Esther Rolle was great, and she was also very great in the dramatic scene, too. So I was inspired by those women just by watching how they just could make people laugh with a look, an action, you know, just a hand on the hip and, you know, a turn. And so I was always inspired by that. And then I loved watching the stand-up comedians, and I didn't even know what it was called. I just knew that they were, you know, these were guys that got a chance to go and do 5 minutes on Johnny Carson and make people laugh for a minute, and they go and sit on the couch and they chuckle with the host. And I just thought that was so cool. So I didn't really know what that was. And so when I was in L.A. for a couple of years, I went to a comedy club with my girlfriend, and we would always just go hang out. And that was the first time I had seen people stand up with a microphone and make people laugh for like 15, 20 minutes. So that was the first time I'd met Sinbad and Arsenio Hall and the Wayans brothers and Martin Lawrence and Tommy Davidson. So I saw all those guys live, and I thought, what? I mean, I couldn't believe I was in this, like, mecca of black talent. Anyway, so it just sort of happened one night when the owner of the Comedy Act Theater asked me to introduce the host, Robin Harris, and to make a long story short, that's really what the beginning of my career, when that happened. I wasn't funny in the beginning for a long, long time, but he believed in me and saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. And Robin Harris helped me develop my comedy muscle. And so here I am 30 years and some change later, still doing it.
Wow. That is awesome. So let's talk about the 30 years. How do you keep this longevity? How have you kept it over this 30-year career?
How have I? I don't know. I ask myself the same question. I guess the key is just to don't stop doing it. I think that because of my training, though, you know, I was trained by, you know, the greats. I was very lucky, very, very blessed to have been able to come into the scene at a certain time where everybody was hot. You know, Robert Townsend had just finished doing his Partners in Crime series on HBO, and Hollywood Shuffle had just come out, and Eddie Murphy's Raw had just hit, and so I came in at a very, very I call it a very juicy time. Like there was a lot of juice to be had, and I was taught by those people who have longevity themselves. They taught me, you know, taught me how to hold my crap, and they taught me how to do this thing and really love it and take care of it and nurture it. It's just like a child, you know. You have to nurture it and keep it fed and keep it well nourished. And I think that's what it's about. It's not just about getting a standing ovation every night. It's about really having the love in your heart for it, because and being willing to be broke, being willing to be hungry, being willing to be alone and lonely for it, and putting it at the top of your list of things to do every day. You know, I'm always thinking about something new. I'm always thinking about a new joke or trying to, you know, enhance what I have, you know, in my comedy bits and things like that. So they told me to take it seriously, even though we're making people laugh. They told me to take it seriously and to handle my business every single time. And if I get on stage, I have to have something to say. I think it's more about substance than anything else. And they just taught me that. All of my teachers, you know, Eddie Murphy, who taught me how to write, Robin Harris, Martin Lawrence. I mean, I watched how they fell in love with this game, and it helped me fall in love with it too. And I just didn't quit. You know, there are times where I wanted to. There are times where I've taken breaks from it, you know, just to give myself some breathing room and to get to live life a little bit. But it just, you know, God, if it's meant for me. Clearly, it was meant for me to do. So I'm like, I always say to myself, well, it's, why fight it and just surrender to it and just enjoy it? So I've just stayed around. I just stuck around. I just wouldn't go anywhere.
Sir Bobby Jones, once conversation we had, my producer Madeline and I, he said, polish your craft. Always polish your craft. And that really stuck with me, you know. Whatever you decide to do, always continue to polish your craft. And that really stuck with me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has a bucket list. What's your bucket list?
I don't really have that. To be honest with you, I don't really like the term, phrase. I don't really set my life that way. I live my life one day at a time. With, you know, I do have a lot of aspirations, and I do have a lot of goals that I'd like to set. And I do dream really big. I dream really, really big. But in terms of having a list, I don't really have a list because I'm open to whatever God has for me. So I love being surprised, and I love the spontaneity of the moment. But there are things I would love to do, you know, and places I would love to go. And so instead of putting them on the list, I just make plans for it.
Okay. What advice would you give your younger self in this era?
What advice would I give my younger self?
Yep.
Advice. Don't sleep with that guy. No, I'm kidding. I would probably, advice. So I would probably say, I think I would probably encourage my younger self a lot more, and I would instill the confidence that she lacked early on. I would probably more than anything be more encouraging to her and be more kind to her. And I would tell her that she's enough, that she doesn't have to compare herself to anybody else. And I would always tell her how beautiful she is and how talented she is, to continue to stay humble and, you know, stay prayerful. Even though knowing that when you're young, you're going to try to push the envelope a little bit, you're going to take some risks, you're going to make some mistakes, I would allow her to make her mistakes and tell her to forgive herself for them and to learn from them and tell her that they're going to benefit her later. Every choice we make is going to influence our lives one way or the other, you know, but it's always for our good. So that's what I would continuously share that with her over and over and over. Because I don't believe that if you tell somebody something one time that that's it. You got to sometimes, again, it's just like when we're talking about nurturing the craft. You got to nurture the human spirit and continue to edify the human spirit. So I believe that for me, I would have to continuously nurture my younger self, continuously to encourage her, continue to keep her motivated, continue to remind her of how awesome she is, all by herself.
That is great.
Without any, you know what I mean?
Yes. That is great. For our listeners out there, what advice would you give our listeners who may want to become an actor or a comedian? And then we're going to close with our upcoming events you may have.
There's a million ways to skin a cat, so I don't really tell anybody to do one thing. What I wish, the main thing that I would suggest if you want to become an actor is to do theater. That is what has helped me. That's the backbone of acting, is doing theater, because that's when you really get a chance to understand what the work looks like, feels like, and how grueling it can be, how time consuming it can be, and that is the training ground. That will let you know where you are and what you want. It'll either you'll love it or you'll hate it and do something else. But theater is the best training. In terms of stand up comedy, I don't really have any suggestions. Because what happened with me, I was thrown into it. It was thrust upon me, and I had to learn very quickly how to be a stand up comedian. And I had to learn from all of the greats that I mentioned before. So if you want to do it, just go to an open mic night somewhere and just write some material and look at the world and open up your perspective and take off your blinders and really see the world. And there's comedy in everything. So just start writing and
okay.
Get up there and
we
just,
have
and
about
it.
90 seconds left. So give us all your social media. How can people reach you?
AJIsanders.com. You can hit me up on Facebook, and I'm Stand Up Girl on Instagram. I right now work with Carnival Cruise Line doing stand up comedy all over the world. So right now, obviously, I'm on hiatus, but I'm actually working on an online show right now. So stay tuned.
That's awesome, and you can find all AJ Sanders taglines on the flyer as well. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out this early morning.
Thank you.
I thank you. This is AJ Sanders. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You too. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Be blessed, because I am blessed.
Oh, come on, clap your hands, come on. All the faith you need is
is about the size of a mustard seed.